the one chapter that we're supposed to be continuing on, and then I'm going to do 10 minutes just in preparation of Rosh Hashanah to be in the mindset of Rosh Hashanah. So in Aleshor, in the third chapter, it's called Tzurat HaYehudi, the form of being a Jew. What does it mean to be a Jew, and how to pick up that form of being a Jew whilst you are in yeshiva? And he starts off by quoting the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Ko amar Hashem, Zuar adrachim v'ru'u v'sharu netivot olam, Eize derech hatov v'lechu ba, Matzu margoa l'nafshotechem. The pasuk says that you should stand, they stood on the pathway, and they asked, what is the path of the world? Which is a good path that a man should go on and find solace for your soul? Who asher amar Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai v'tamidav tzeu ru'u eze derech tova shidbak ba'adam. Coming to yeshiva is not just a question of going with the flow of what yeshiva says to do. Coming to yeshiva is not just a question of technically I did this seder and I did that seder. When someone comes to yeshiva, he has to come with a mindset of I'm coming to acquire my world, my future world, my spiritual world, and I'm looking for path. I'm looking for the pathway in my Avodat Hashem in order to have a well-rounded, all-encompassing connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person comes to yeshiva and he has no breadth of knowledge, rather he just comes and does three starim of Gemara, then he will definitely improve his Gemara skills and come out more erudite in that area, but he won't necessarily come out as a Jew in the full sense of Hashkafa, of Emunah, of Halacha. There are other areas which are crucial for a person to ensure that he is working on whilst he's in yeshiva. And that's what it means when it says you should go and find the path that you should take. If you just learn Gemara, then whilst you've laid down the tools for how to find that path, you haven't actually found the path because you've just learned lots of background. This is the other areas which we're going to discuss now are areas which enable you to take all that wisdom and that knowledge and then put them into a path for yourself, into a guideline for yourself. In this generation, the obligation to do this is even more foundational. We have to clarify for ourselves what is that good path that we need to be taking on. There's a great danger that people do in yeshiva, which I can testify to having heard it over all the years, where people have these very broad statements, which they don't even themselves have a clue about what it means, but they just say these very, very broad statements, and then when you ask them, how's everything going, it's Baruch Hashem, and what's your goal in yeshiva, it's to learn well, and anything more or deeper than that, to be close to Hashem. And what does that mean exactly? I never thought about that, but it's just very kind of very broad statement that you want to be a good Jew at heart. So these kind of very nothing statements, which maybe they do give a general direction, it's not bad, it's not that they're looking in the wrong direction, but it's so general, so not defined, that it doesn't give a pathway for them to know the stages and steps they need to take in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whilst we have spoken about here the value of having a vision, the value of having a mission, the value of recognizing what you're doing is part of something much greater, that alone will leave a person floundering to know, well, what are the steps that I need to take? And it's a very, very important catchphrase, which I do like, which a person should always be saying to himself, what is my next step in Avodas Hashem? That's a phrase which one can repeat themselves again and again and again and again. Because that's one which is the question which leads you to think about what step to take. You're not allowed to say, you can't answer the question, what's my next step in Avodas Hashem, and say, to be good to people and to be good to Hashem. You can't answer that. That's not your next step. What's your next step? The very word next step means, don't talk in broad terms, talk in practical terms. There's always a danger that we're moving away from, that a person won't say general broad statements, and certainly they won't just rely on their emotion that it's all going well without any clear guidelines. That cloudy vision distorts them from the ability to actually grow and work, and then long term they look back and they say, I don't even know what I did in yeshiva. Meaning in general it was good, and in general I had a good time, and I think it was productive, but actually, so what did you acquire, what projects did you take on, and where were you, and what mission did you take, and how did you get to the next step? They can't really answer that question. It's just like, I don't know, I was in a good environment, and I was learning, and everything was good. I have to have something specific, I don't know if I have that. And then that holds them back from accomplishing what they could accomplish. But it's not that that's not a value, that's a very great value. Putting yourself in a positive environment where your peer pressure is encouraging you to do positive things is a great value. However, it's a loss of potential. Because if you were to define more specific goals that you wish to accomplish, you could do much better. And therefore, what we're going to speak about now is just give, and even this is very broad, but at least it's going to break it down somewhat, to give a guidelines on how to ensure that one is using the time in yeshiva and building themselves beyond the Gemara learning itself. It's an obligation on every Jew to invest time and effort into learning other areas of Torah, which build him as a what he calls a true Jew. A true Jew, Yehudi Amiti, or a well-rounded, well-based Jew. Someone who comes to yeshiva and is coming to build his spiritual world has to know four areas. And now I'm just going to list the four. And B'ezras Hashem, next time, which will be after Rosh Hashanah, we'll go into a little more detail on these four points and just explain why they're important. But now we're just listing them as an introduction. The four areas which the Aleh Shor sees as essential for a person to be learning yeshiva. Now, I will say now that some of these you won't be able to finish in a year or two in yeshiva, but all of them you will be able to start and get a good holding on the beginnings of. And then take it with you the years after you go to yeshiva. If someone were to stay in yeshiva for 4 or 5 years, you could cover all of these things easily in break times and in just after. If you want to do these in 1 year, you'd have to spend a good 3-4 hours a day to do these. But at least to get the portion and holding that you can in your first and second year. So number one is halacha. Chayav lirchosh yediya brura b'shulchan aruch im ha-mishna brura. A person is obligated to know halacha clearly, to be going through the Shulchan Aruch, and to be doing it with the commentary of the Mishnah Berurah. Now, you have to define for yourself, and there are definitely clear guidelines on this, what are the areas in halacha that you want to ensure that you've covered this year? Next year you can reassess and you can say a new thing. But it shouldn't just be, you just like see what people are learning, you just pick something randomly. You have now, let's say, 10 months ahead of you for this year. Choose to yourself, it's important for me that this year I'm covering Hilchos Brochos. Or you can say, this year I'm doing Hilchos Moedim, and before each Moed, I will learn Halachos, that particular Moed. Or you can say, this year I'm doing Hilchos Shabbos. Or you can say, this year I'm starting from the beginning, I'm going to do Hilchos Tefillah. It doesn't matter what you choose. There's no specific preference. It's important that you make a plan by which, over a few years, you will have covered all the major topics. But you have to have thought through, what am I doing now? What am I doing this year? And how does that fit into the bigger picture of what I'll be doing over the course of years? You could choose any area. I just gave a few examples. It could be other areas too. You could do Hilchos Kashrus as well, which isn't as Mishnah Berurah, but that's fine. It doesn't really matter. When he says in Mishnah Berurah is... He says Mishnah Berurah. I'm adding you can also do an English book as long as it's all-encompassing. But the reason I think he says Mishnah Berurah is something which is all-encompassing and widely accepted. If you were to take the halachas of brachos in English or the halachas of muktzah in English, and that would also serve that same purpose, which is an all-encompassing book, which ensures that you have all the details. So make it an agenda that you know you're going through halacha in an orderly manner. You're covering all of halacha, and what your plan for this year is, and how that fits into the bigger picture. Now, I'm not saying that now you have to decide what you're going to do for the next 4 or 5 years. You can each year reassess, what have I done, what do I still have to do, that's fine. But see that you want to do everything, and decide what this year your particular goal is. And it should be that at the end of the year you say, this year I did a thorough Hilchos Brochos. This year I did a thorough Hilchos Shavuos with the time that I had. Make a plan and make sure you're investing that plan. It shouldn't be that every month or two you change chavrusas or change book and then you end up with scattered ideas here and there, but you don't feel that you have a specific holding on one particular area of halacha. That's point number one. Point number two, chayav lirchosh yediya rechava b'Torah in Perush Rashi and the Ramban. Now, I'm sure everyone knows this, but there's only one thing that you're obligated to learn. There's only one thing that the Shulchan Aruch says you have to learn. Every other area of Torah is Masha Libo Chafetz. You can learn what you want. I'm not talking about if you join a yeshiva and the yeshiva is learning a particular masechta, and obviously that means you're part of a system. But let's say you're not part of any system, you're totally doing your own thing. There's still one thing which everyone's obligated to learn, and that's Shnai Mikra. Do the Parsha twice with either Unkelus or with Rashi, and when there's no Rashi on that Pasuk, do the Pasuk a third time. That's something which is an obligation, and the only thing which is an obligation. Everything else you can choose, that's one thing that every Jew has to do every week. And if you didn't manage to do it, then you can make it up by Simchas Torah. So, from my experience, maybe I'll talk about this in much more depth at a different time, maybe after Sukkot, but from my experience, if you do it with Unkelus, then it's easier to fulfill your obligation, and you can keep up in a much more solid way, because it's limited and it's defined and it's clear exactly what to do. When you do it with Rashi, you have to be understanding what you're reading. You need to be understanding what you're reading in Rashi, and therefore you gain a lot more yedias, you gain a lot more understanding and wisdom, but it's also a bigger project. It's a bigger project which it's worth investing in. It's worth investing in. So you can choose what you want to do. If your primary goal is to make sure you're fulfilling your obligation, which you have to do, it's better to do Unkelus, and that way you can just keep it up each week. If your goal is, you say, it's worth my while investing in this and giving it more time, and I'll get a broader foundation in understanding Rashi and the Chumash, and it's more of an investment, but then I'll do it with Rashi, those are both valid options. Yeah.
Is one able to switch from week to week what he does?
Yeah, yeah. You can even switch in the middle of a parsha. Yeah. You have to do Shnayim Mikra Ve'achad Targum, and that could be either Umpilus or Rashi.
What about other commentaries?
And other, in theory as well, but you start with, those are the two basic ones. So you start with those two. So that's an obligation. Now, beyond Rashi, the Ramban's commentary is the most basic, foundational, from an Emunah perspective commentary that there is. And I'm sure you've seen it, but there's a little kuntras, a little white booklet that points out on the parasha each week which very, very important Rambans are obligatory to know if you want to have faith in Hashem and understand it clear. That's the one that Rav Shlomo Friedman goes through on a tonight he's not doing it, but on a regular Thursday night when there's a parasha, those are the ones that he goes through to give you that foundation. You can listen to Rav Shlomo Friedman's shiur, you can also do it yourself. So if you're ever looking for an extra limud, then in yeshiva, these are the primary things you should be taking on outside of the regular schedule of learning, is to do Rashi in more depth, or at least with an understanding of Rashi, not just reading it through to the full obligation, but read Rashi well. That's at a very primary limud. And then beyond Rashi, after Rashi, to do those selected Rambans. You have more time to do all the Rambans, but at least start with those selected Rambans in order to ensure that you have the Ramban's understanding of Chumash from the Emunah perspective. That's point number two. Point number three is Pirkei Avos, with the commentary of Rabbeinu Yonah, which that I'll comment on more when we get to it. Each of these is going to elaborate on. I'm just giving headings now, but I got excited as I spoke more about it. I was supposed to do just headings. So Pirkei Avos with Rabbeinu Yonah, that's number three. And the fourth one is Maseilas Yishar. Those are the four things that a person should be learning in yeshiva. And even if he doesn't finish in this first year, but he already should have got a strong holding in that he's already comfortable with him, so that he will continue to do it during Ben Azmanim, during next year, during post-yeshiva. Mishneh Brura, Chumash with Rashi and the Ramban, Pirkei Avos with Rabbeinu Yonah, and Maseilas Yishar. So those points we'll get back to and we'll elaborate on them more after Rosh Hashanah. I just wanted, in the few minutes left, just to finish off the section that we started talking about Rosh Hashanah. The holiness of the day of Rosh Hashanah is very great. We don't find anywhere else that the Rishonim write commentary is like the angels are trembling with great fear. It's something which is not just limited to us, it's not just our experience, but it's something which takes over the entire world. As opposed to, for example, when we speak about Sukkot, that's something very specific for the Jews. That was Hashem showed Hashgacha Pratis to the Jews, and we're celebrating that closest that Hashem gave specifically to us. When we speak at Rosh Hashanah, it's not just to do with us. We're the ones who primarily recognize it. But it's something which affects non-Jews of the world on the one side, and it affects angels on the other side. Hakol talui bezeh. And everything depends on this. It depends on that moment, like we spoke about yesterday. It depends on how you are on Rosh Hashanah, the moment of Rosh Hashanah. Achshav zeh mekupeles hitnagutos shel adam b'meshach kol hashana. And how you are on Rosh Hashanah is going to be a all-encompassing from who you've been through the whole year, but you can raise that. Ashrei mi she'achshir le'avo. How fortunate is someone who builds up towards Rosh Hashanah. He's been davening with Kavanah throughout the year, and then it's a more natural for him to have Kavanah on Rosh Hashanah. But even if not, you can see Rosh Hashanah as an opportunity where you can just raise yourself up even above your normal and standard level. The goal of Rosh Hashanah is to come to a place where you awaken within yourself a motivation, a desire to grow, and to be mekabel ol malchut shemayim, to see yourself as part of Hashem's mission in this world. That's the mindset that a person is using Rosh Hashanah to work towards. A person should be with the perspective that Rosh Hashanah is the day where he's expressing his desire to be close to Hashem. And obviously before Rosh Hashanah, whatever work you do builds towards that, but the prayers on Rosh Hashanah, the goal of those prayers is to have that in mind. I'm sure this is like a very important principle that someone said to me today that I asked him how are you doing in the Slichas. I was talking about Slichas, how are the Slichas going? So it's a funny thing, everyone told me that the week of Slichas you just crash and you're sort of so tired. So I went in with that perspective and I feel tired. But if someone would have said to me the week of Slichas is the most uplifting week, even though you're tired, you're just so connected, I said, I think that's what I would have come in with. So he said it's just unfortunate that was the phrase I was given, and I really related to what he said. when a person goes into any particular situation with the mindset of this is what it's going to be, and that's what you look for. And since that's what you look for, that's what you find, and that's what you get from it. I remember the first time, when I was living in England, I used to listen to Rabbi Tatz. I used to go to Rabbi Tatz, Rabbi Kim Tatz's shirim. I liked him very, very much. And the first time I ever went, a friend of mine who had gone before me and advised me to go, he gave an introduction to Rabbi Tatz's shirim, which made me so thirsty and open to hear what he had to say, that when I came, I was just waiting to hear. And then every word that spoke to my heart, I absorbed it very deeply. And I remember thinking at the time, it was good that he gave an introduction, because I was able to receive so much more because I was prepped in that way. So when you come to Rosh Hashanah, if you're prepped with this mindset that we're reading now, the goal is to have a mindset of, I'm using the day, I'm using the tefillahs to express my desire to be close to Hashem, and you could take that out of the day. If someone just comes and he says, oh, I love these negunim, I'm looking forward to singing, then he'll enjoy singing on Rosh Hashanah, and he'll have an uplifting experience from a musical perspective, which is a value. That is not the higher value that one could take. If one goes into Rosh Hashanah being prepped with the mindset of this is a day where the goal is to express your desire to be close to Hashem, that's what you will take out of the day. And therefore that's the point that Ali Shur wants to make here in order to have us in that right state of mind. The thought that one should have today, Erev Rosh Hashanah, is how will I be standing before Hashem? Now, spend tomorrow when you have time to prepare for Rosh Hashanah to prepare yourself to have this mindset. Write out to yourself, how do I wish to stand before Hashem today? What is my goal of what I wish to get from the day? What is my goal for the year? Petach tikva nifla poteach lanu ha-Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi that we quoted yesterday gave us hope. It doesn't make a difference how you acted throughout the year. As long as you have the expression of desire to come close to Hashem on the day, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to you. And he finishes up with one phrase. If you have this mindset, then you have a true perspective of desire to come close to Hashem. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah can pass without doing any sins, without stumbling, with your mind in tune and your mind in thought with the desire to come close to Hashem. And that's the goal which you should go into. You don't have to think more lofty goals, you don't have to think anything higher. Just the mindset of, I don't want to do anything wrong on Rosh Hashanah, I'm just focused. Rather, I want to express the desire to come close to Hashem. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, at, I think, 9:15 until 10. Tomorrow, 9:15 till 10, there's Hataras Nedarim after davening. There's Shacharis, Hataras Nedarim, breakfast. And then 9:15 until 10, I will be giving a much more thorough Hachana preparation for Rosh Hashanah. We'll be in probably in the big room.